take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. I want tonight to preach on a subject that I have entitled The Preaching of the Reverend Mr. Day. And I have my text, and you will find it in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day shall declare it. The preaching of Mr. Day. Days in Scripture have a special emphasis. The Bible commences with the history of the first 7 days of this world and all that happened in those days. Each of those first 7 days were stamped with the handiwork of God. If you turn over with me to Genesis chapter 1, you'll find the declaration of the first day. It says the day shall declare it. What did the first day declare? It declared illumination. It was a time of darkness. An awful time of darkness. If you look with me at chapter 1 of Genesis, you'll find that it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The darkness of the deep, the darkness that preceded God's intervention and began God's days of wonderful creation. Instead of darkness, there was illumination. There was light. How powerful was the Word of God? Let there be light. And the whole atmosphere of darkness fled before the commanding power of God's omnipotent word. The dispelling of darkness. But when we come to the second day, you will notice that we move from the work of illumination, we move to the work of separation. And we find there that God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. What a day that was. The division of the waters above from the waters beneath. Scientists are still fighting about what that means. Let them fight on in their folly. But what God said was done. And that was the second day, the day of separation. Come to the third day. And the third day is a day of identification. God said to the waters, go back unto the place I have appointed you to take your residence there. And the mighty seas that had covered the whole earth were separated. And they marched at the command of God back to that part of the earth which God had prepared for. And then God said, let dry land appear. And the dry land appeared. Here we have the identification of the dry ground and the identification of the place where the seas should be. And then you will notice that in verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. There we had multiplication, that the grass multiplied, the herbs multiplied, the trees multiplied. It was the third day. The day shall declare it. The first day declared illumination. The second day declared separation. The third day declared identification. The fourth day declared multiplication. And then we come to the fourth day. And we discover there that on the fourth day there is something very unique. There is a coronation. Two great kings were crowned. One was the son to rule the day. And the other was the moon to rule the night. Of course, the word sun is not mentioned in this verse. And the word moon is not mentioned. They are called two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that's the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. And then God made the stars also. That's interesting. No one knows the number of the stars and how many millions of stars there is. The Milky Way, it's all its stars have not even been named as yet with all the clever strikes of science. But God made them and he commanded them in one day. And when you look up in the starry heaven, remember that the declaration of the fourth day was a coronation. And then we come to the fifth day. And the fifth day is a declaration of habitation. Something happened. The seas were inhabited by fish, and the skies were inhabited by the fowls of the air. And it was the fifth day. It was a declaration of habitation. And then on the sixth day, we had something that was very different. We had the declaration of the creation of the beasts of the field and of man himself. The declaration of the sixth day was the creation of beast and man. And then, on the seventh day, we have the declaration of consecration, God sanctified, separated, consecrated the seventh day to be His holy Sabbath day. The day shall declare it. Of course, the world today is not really interested in what those days declare. But they will continue to make their declaration to the end of this old world until God makes a new world. And we as believers believe there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. But while we see the preaching of the day in those 7 days in Genesis, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that there are another 7 days which had to do with the holy feast of the atonement in the Mosaic economy. And remember, that those first 7 days that we've looked at, and these 7 days that I'm going to touch on now, while they are different, yet they are all pointing to the authority and to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, the King of time, the Lord of all time, and the Lord of eternity. And we can say, thank God, we live in the day of Christ, for Christ has come into the world. In the first day in Exodus chapter 12, we are told the leaven was to be removed from every house where the Israelites lived. Leaven is a type of sin. And the leaven was to be removed. The day declares it. The day declares to you tonight, sinner, that until you deal and have God deal with your sin, you'll not be living under the calendar of the Lord. You'll be living under the calendar of the devil and all his hordes. A plaything to the devil. But thank God the gospel tells me that Jesus Christ can deal with sin. And the leaven of sin, you can have a first day experience, the level of sin, and the leaven of sin can be removed from your heart. I have a message for you tonight. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. So the leaven of sin can be dealt with. That's the first day blessing. The second day was a day when a man called Moses went out and stood with two fighting Israelites. And they turned on him. We'll read it in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 13. And one of them said, are you going to kill me the way you killed the man yesterday? And what happened? Moses had to flee from Herod and become an exile for 40 years outside Egypt in the land of Midian. You know, until sin is dealt with by the cleansing of the blood, you will never get rid of it. And Moses tried to hide his sin as he hid the man's body that he had murdered. But it was all in vain. Sin cannot be hidden. sin cannot be concealed from the Most High God. God has written a book about your sin. And every sin you have ever committed from the day you were born, sinner, to this day, He has them all marked. All dated. The day has declared them. And in the last day of judgment for sinners, those books are going to be opened. In the third day, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 4, we read of a man called Abraham, and he came to the third day, and he saw the place where he was to build the altar, and put his son Isaac upon him as the sacrifice. And God said, "That's the place, Abraham. Now get on with it. Now get the altar built. Now get Isaac on the altar. Take your knife and put it through his heart. Let the blood flow. Let it flow." Abraham was with a heavy heart that Abraham went up the hill, the very hill where Jesus, in the centuries and millennium of the future, would himself be hung up upon a cross. For Isaac was a beautiful type, the well-beloved son of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the well-beloved Son of God. What a scene. Abraham breaks the news to Isaac. Isaac could have fought with his father, for the father then was an old man of over 100 years of age. And young Isaac was only a man, a young boy, about 17. But he didn't. He yielded willingly. He was laid on the altar. And Abraham took his knife to slay his son. And a voice from heaven interrupted the procedure and said, "Abraham! Abraham! Don't kill the boy." And Abraham turned and he looked and he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And in the Hebrew, that is a thorny thicket. And that ram was caught in the thorn. And Abraham went and took the thorn-crowned ram out of the hedge. And he took it to the altar. And Isaac and him laid it on the altar and slew it. And the lamb's blood flowed. And Abraham said, "I've rejoiced to see God's day. I have seen it, and I'm glad. The day shall declare it. As the day declared to you, the third day, the wonder of the cross, the wonder of one whose head was torn with thorns, that he might be the Savior of the world." The fourth day, we read about the fourth day in Numbers chapter 29, verse 23. And we read there of the numbers of the beasts that were sacrificed at the great week of atonement that took place, which was a type of the salvation of all of the nation of the children of Israel. Jesus Christ paid the debt on Calvary of all who put their trust in Him. A great number which no man can number. Can you say, "I have heard the message, the day has declared it to me, that I'm part of that great number whom God in eternity past made choice of, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus carried all our sin. You will notice that the passages in Scripture keep repeating the word "our." He was wounded for our transgression. I hear preachers misquoting that, and they say he was wounded for your transgression. They have no right to say that. The Bible says these are family texts, and except you're in the family, they don't apply to you. You're outside the field. It's only when you're in the family you can say he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then the fifth day in Numbers chapter 29-26 was a very special day in the day of the week, the holy days of the atonement. And then last of all, you'll read about the seventh day when the whole feast of the atonement finalized itself in a perfect and wholesome salvation and sacrifice. Have you heard, sinner, the message of day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and day seven? Happy is the man, happy is the woman, happy is the boy and girl who has heard the preaching of Mr. Day. The day shall declare it. But let me tell you, dear sinner friend, the Bible also tells me, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Psalm 15 and Psalm 95 and verse 8. Have you heard the day saying that to you? Today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. How long have you lived upon this earth? How long have you come to the years of accountability? How many times you've heard God's voice calling you to come to Christ, but you have refused the plea of the Spirit of God? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The day shall declare it. But there's another day in the gospel text. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? All your gains, all your money, all your possessions, whose will they be? The preacher Day is preaching it into your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit. There is another verse, which is a verse of encouragement, and it says this: is the day of salvation. This is the day. Tonight you can be in time. Tonight you can seek the Lord while he may be found, and you can call upon him while he is near. I was talking to a person that was at our morning service about the salvation of their soul, and I was saying to them, you know, you don't grow up into religion. Religion starts at a birth. And that birth is a new birth. You need to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May God write his eternal truth in your heart. And I pray, God, this night that you will hear the voice of the preacher day, and you'll not turn away with a hard-hearing ear, but rather you'll respond and come and take Christ as your own and personal Savior. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. 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 Come, sinner, come. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wouldst bless thy simple and holy gospel to the hearts of men and women, and that tonight in this house, men and women may turn from their sins to Jesus Christ, freely offered to them in the gospel. Oh, save the sinners, restore the backsliders, and revive the saints for Jesus' sake. And everybody said,